Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Thursday, everybody. Great to have you with us. News Radio 1070 WKOK, Steve Jones, and today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai, best new inventory going. Great new inventory. Maybe the budget says pre-owned inventory. Well, perfect. You've gone to the right place. Sunbury Motors, they have an awesome selection. They have an awesome selection of pre-owned inventory. And not only that, priced right. And on top of that, with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. They have a fabulous sales staff. I mean, they get repeat business for a reason, because they just take care of you. The customer comes first. And they also have a fabulous service department. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Fun show coming up today. Tim Brando looks back at the career of Mike Krzyzewski. Great to have him on board. Tony Knopp on the business of sports. Neil Kulong on the Steelers and the NFL. And in a few moments, joined by Ala Abdelnaby. We'll talk to him about the Sixers and Hawks series, now tied at a game apiece, going to Atlanta for Game 3. We'll also talk to Ala Abdelnaby also about Coach K. Fun time. Gerrit Cole last night did do his job. We talked about how a lot of pressure would be on him. People are saying that he's using tack so he can get a better grip on the ball. And he had a very wishy-washy press conference on Monday on the off day. Well, last night against the Twins, they won 9-6, but he only gave up two runs over six innings and struck out nine. He actually pitched really, really well last night. So with a little bit of pressure on him last night, especially with those wondering, especially Josh Donaldson of the Twins, who's accused him of it, he actually came through with a good performance last night. So Josh Donaldson and the Twins were shut down by Gerrit Cole, and the Yankees won it by a score 9-6. The Pirates did not make any mistakes last night. They just lost a good game, 2-1. Turner had a couple home runs last night. At least the Pirates didn't do anything comical last night. Unreal. All right, a lot to talk about on today's show. Looking forward to it. And by the way, tomorrow, now remember, Matt Cotrillo and his wife, Lucid, just had a baby boy, all right? Just had a baby boy, and he's out the rest of the week. Tomorrow, it's the reunion show, the Suit and I together again. I know he's really been looking forward to it. As I said, he's been really looking forward to it. We'll have a lot of fun tomorrow. Can't wait to do that and join Kevin on the show. All right, Ala Abdelnaby. We'll talk about Sixers, Hawks in a moment as we continue. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Please be joined now by Ala Abdelnaby, the analyst for the Sixers TV network. Ala, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Appreciate it.
Hey, let's start with this before we get to the Sixers. A lot of people who have played for Mike Krzyzewski have talked about the impact he had on their lives. What kind of impact did Coach K have on your life?
Oh, man. I don't know if we have enough time in the show for all of the impacts. I can tell you that he helped me grow up. He helped me achieve my goals. There are still things that he taught me back then, heck, 30-something years ago, that I still carry with me every day. So it's hard to just kind of narrow it down. But I can tell you that, you know, when you're a young kid and you're going through the process of becoming a man, that's a big deal. So whoever's guiding you through that process is important. And he was amazing through that. And like I said, when I got there, I wanted to play in the NBA. So being able to achieve that goal, too, and him helping me along the way, it makes me definitely fond of him even more.
And then one more question on that before we get to the Sixers. Every time I go through a recruiting process here at Penn State, and then I have to talk about who was signed or whatever, I said this is the most important decision day of their lives. It impacts maybe the next 20, 30 years of their life. Is it safe to say that in terms of your experience at Duke and with Coach K?
No question about it, Steve. And when I look back, it was the best decision I've ever made. And it's one that still pays off to this day, which is remarkable because, like I said, it's been 30-plus years. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a big deal. And I take a lot of pride in when I first met him back in 1984, he wasn't the Coach K that he is now. But I saw something in him, and it's kind of neat that I saw it a lot earlier than most of the country did and most of the world. But I do. I take a lot of pride in seeing his special qualities.
All right, now let's get to the Sixers. What do you think of what kind of defender, in your opinion, has Ben Simmons become? And is he the kind of defender that the Sixers need to have consistently on Trae Young because of the height advantage?
Well, I think the luxury the Sixers have, and you know, I don't want to panic here because the series is, you know, it's still early. But you know, Doc is going to try a number of different guys on him, and I thought you saw him start off with Danny Green. And you know, I don't know if anybody at that moment covering him would have had any real impact on him. They were rolling. He was rolling. They started off really hot. At one point, was it a 17-0 run? They were shooting in the 70s percentage-wise in that first half for a good chunk of it. So I'm not sure, you know, anybody would have done anything to that. But that being said, I thought they wore on him as the game went on. Ben's physicality and his size, I thought his aggressiveness in that second half. The Sixers got punched in the mouth, and it took them a half to bounce back. The problem is they dug themselves such a big hole that, you know, they almost got out of it, but it was just too much to overcome in one half. And I think they'll be ready. The promising signs, if there is a silver lining, is that I think that's as good as Atlanta's going to play. Especially in that first half, and the 76ers had 9 turnovers in that first quarter and really didn't do much defensively. And yet at the end, when it was all said and done, they were still very much in the ball game. So I expect the Sixers to come out and be the aggressor and not the reactor in game 2, and I think things change.
In fact, I want to get to the second half because in order to get back in the game like they did and to make it really competitive down the stretch, you have to do a lot of things right. What did they do right in the second half that you think are building blocks for the rest, for not just game 2, but the rest of the way through?
Well, I think it's you build on what I just said in that you're the aggressor. They're reacting to you. The 76ers were chasing every Hawk in that first half, and you can't play that way because they are really good. And if you allow them to be the aggressor and play, you know, attacking and carefree, which is what it looked like in the first half, that you play to their strengths. And I thought the 76ers took that away for the most part in the second half. They blew up their pick and rolls. They just gave them different looks. And I thought Atlanta had at times got knocked back on their heels. And I thought that's when you saw the real 76ers. That has to be from the tap. In game 2, because Atlanta's too good to give them possessions, give them a part of a period. You've got to dominate them for 4 quarters. Trae Young's too good.
Right, so now let's get to Joel Embiid. He had 39 yesterday. What'd you think about him and the matchup he has inside?
Oh, I had no issues with him. He was tremendous. And then we're talking about going up against a guy like Capella, who's been playing probably his best basketball of his career coming into this series. So I thought Joel was Joel. I didn't really have any issues with the offense in the second half. The first half, he didn't run as much. He didn't get as many easy buckets. I thought in the first half the Hawks got open looks while the Sixers, their shots were all contested. And I thought that made a big difference. That had something to do with the shooting percentage. It's also something to do with the 76ers, I think, reacting and allowing the Hawks to play their game. And in the second half, you saw them interrupting whatever the Hawks were trying to do. And I think that's the way they got to go.
Yeah, I thought Capella did a great job in Julius Randle in the next series.
He was excellent. Yeah, physical.
Very physical. You've been through this before. Everybody talks about adjustments between games. So when you've been on the winning side, coaches know adjustments had to be made. How tough is it to convince the winning side they need to make adjustments? How easy is it to convince the losing side they have to make adjustments, since you've lived it?
Well, I think it's definitely easier if you're addressing the losing side, because I think when you're the losing side, you're looking for answers. You're searching for something to get you over the hump. But that being said, good groups can also be very receptive on the winning side. It depends on the group. If it's a satisfied group, then I think they'll, you know, take a deep breath like human nature is and relax a little. While I think if it's a hungry collective, you know, that one win makes them hungrier. Again, I think it all depends on the personality of the group, but I definitely think Doc Rivers has their attention because, you know, that was I don't know if it was a shock, but I definitely think it was a small surprise in the way things turned out, and especially the way things played out in that first half.
When you look, I mean, the teams have stars, obviously. Where does Tobias Harris fit in what they need to do? Because obviously Simmons does his deal. Obviously Joel does his deal. What can Harris now mean as that third guy?
Well, I think he's that medium-range guy. He's the post-up guy. He's the guy in transition. Yeah, he'll knock down an occasional three, but I think where Tobias's value really is on the move, on the dribble. Sure, he'll post up if there's a mismatch in size, but it's that little 1-2 dribble explosion, getting to the elbow, knocking that jumper down or at the foul line extended. You know, that's where his money is, and I think that's where he's needed. The 76ers at times were kind of one-dimensional with Joel at times yesterday, and I think Tobias needs to add even more of a dimension.
The other guy, I love this guy defensively in college, Thybulle. You watch him now all season long. What makes him such a good fundamental defender? Because when I watched him in college, I thought, this guy gets it.
I think it's instinct. You know, it's his anticipation. To be a good defender, you have to anticipate what's about to happen and then intercept what's about to happen, whether it's a pass or a dribble. And so that means you have to have an IQ for the game. You have to have an understanding of the game to be able to predict what's about to happen and then put yourself in the middle of it, because that's what we see him do. So when you look at him, what I see is a guy who's got a really high basketball IQ. And for a guy new to this level, that's pretty remarkable, because I know basketball is basketball, but it is played differently at this level. And for him, in a short period of time, to grasp that end, which, let's face it, if you look at a guy like Tyrese Maxey, who has all the physical skills and speed on top of it, you know, he's come a long way defensively, but he wasn't a good defender when he first put on the uniform at the beginning of the year. Doc will tell you that his numbers defensively have gotten better. That's why you're seeing him in the lineup, because Doc trusts him on the defensive end of the floor. Matisse had that from day one, and that's what makes it remarkable. And it's only becoming more enhanced the more he goes out there and plays. So I can't wait to see this guy play. He's just fun to watch because, like Doc likes to say about Ben Simmons, he swallows up guys at times.
I have to ask, the fact that there are fans now back, and the vast majority of them, by the way, actually are behaving themselves. Based on the, you wouldn't know by the headlines, but almost all of them are behaving themselves. What does it mean to the players just to have that presence?
Oh, gosh, it's huge. I mean, I could only imagine, because it didn't happen when I played, but if you took away the fans, you'd take away that performance side of it. These guys are performers. I know they're competitors first and they're teammates, but you take away that, all you have basically are closed practices. So to have the fans back, to have that energy to feed off of, me as a broadcaster, just having them sitting among us when we used to be alone in that arena, just us and the ball players. It's how it's supposed to be. And I think it plays into the Sixers' advantage, too, because there is no place like the Wells Fargo Center. I've seen every arena in the league, and there just isn't a place like it when it's rocking.
Yeah, whether it's a 15,000-seat arena, you know, I'm looking around going, what the heck? You know, doing college games, doing Penn State games. And then I did a football game at Michigan. I had 111,000 empty seats in front of me. I'm just like, are you kidding me? Can this be real?
Cavernous, I would imagine.
It's unreal. All right, so you get to game two. I know you've touched on a few of these things. Adjustment wise, if the Sixers make the adjustments that are needed, which ones would they be that will show up in game two?
Continue to give Trae Young a myriad of looks. You can't give him a steady diet of something. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Ben on him more because of him being so vocal about it. But I don't know if Doc is going to be married. It depends. If Ben goes on him and locks him down, then I would imagine you're going to continue with that. But I think the idea of giving him several looks, different guys, different lengths, different abilities, I think that will also keep him guessing. If you can just get him to stop playing instinctively for a split second, you have an advantage. But when he's free-flowing along with that quickness and his handle, he's almost impossible to stop. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you've got to play with energy. You can't be the reactor. Yeah. You have to be the initiator and have Atlanta be reacting to you for most of the evening. And I think then things will go the Sixers' way.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Great stuff.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate you having on. Looking forward to talking to you soon.
Ala Abdelnaby, outstanding analyst, who, of course, was a part of Mike Krzyzewski's regime in the early days when Mike Krzyzewski was trying to establish the program at Duke, and now he's the outstanding, and I mean outstanding, television analyst for the Philadelphia 76ers TV network. Coming up in the next half hour, we'll shift gears, talk about the NFL. Neil Kuhn will join us. Great to have you with us on the show, and great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the Thursday show today, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Well, when you go out to look for a new car, and I'm going to be on the hunt here pretty soon, there's no doubt I'm going to Sunbury Motors.
And they already have a product line I'm looking at. I'm actually looking at the Ford product line, but they've got Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Say the budget dictates pre-owned inventory. Well, you know what? You need to have trust when you go out there. You know, it's everybody's always wondering how it. Okay, I know I'm buying something that somebody had before. All right. Well, guess what? You want to have it backed up by the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. They go through the full inspection, the full check, and they will give you great deals, no question. And they have a fabulous service department on top of everything. Just, I mean, I'm talking like, I mean, not even major stuff. I mean, routine stuff. You have to have trust in the routine stuff. They're great at all of it. It is Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Congratulations to Matt and Lisa Catrillo, their second son, born a couple of days ago. In fact, born yesterday. Yesterday, as a matter of fact. Yesterday morning at 8:59. 7 pounds, 2.5 ounces, 18 and a half inches. Congratulations to them, as Luke has a little brother now. And Matt will be rejoining us on the show next week. So that means that tomorrow I will have to have another co-host. We searched around, and in the end, we did a poll. What does America want to hear? Over and over again, two words kept emerging. America wants to hear on the show one more time, the suit. Yes, the suit will be joining us tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Kevin and I always have a good time. All the kidding that I do about him, he's like a little brother to me. He is the... We have a good time with the whole thing. All right? So every time people say, oh, you're so hard on Kevin, it's all just part of the show, guys. It's all part of the show. It's almost in some ways the suit is a mythical character, except the problem is he actually does some of the stuff. In fact, he does most of the stuff. We actually don't lie about the about some of the stuff he does. That's our Kevin. All right. Let's talk about the NFL. It is always great to have with us anytime the guru, Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome.
It's always a great day when you know that I'm coming on and you know the first thing we're going to talk about is Mason Rudolph.
Absolutely. You got to give Mason credit. He has absolute confidence in himself and his own game, even though it might not match up with the confidence other people have. What did you think about his statement?
I thought, this is terrible. I don't feel like I should even say it, but.
No, go ahead. We're among friends, you know, what the heck.
I felt like this was in lights and prime time for him. Like, he practiced that exact statement many times over, knowing that this is what he was going to say at some point when the team kindly trots out two players to speak to the media and as a whole. Supreme confidence. You don't want him to say, well, you know what? I just hope that I still have a job.
right.
You appreciate that.
Exactly. Yeah, no doubt.
I did notice this. He did say, I want to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I want to start for my team. His current team is the Steelers. Now he has another year after this one. And next training camp, this time next year is really make or break for Rudolph. That might not even be true. It might even be decided for him before that. So he's going to need to approach this as if he's going to get a legitimate shot to be the starting quarterback for the Steelers next season. His ability to win that remains to be seen. To his credit, we have seen him improve. I did like what I saw in the way that he played against the Browns. More than anything, it seemed like he played with that same kind of confidence that he spoke in today.
Right.
He seemed to have that kind of quasi panache playing a kind of a listless Browns team. It wasn't really like they were going all out or anything. But he delivered a couple good passes. There were a couple plays where it's like, okay, you know, I don't think we would have seen that from the previous Rudolph that we've known and seen. Where's he going to be after one more training camp now? Where's he going to be after another training camp? I'm interested in that. And it really, it's weird because you don't see NFL quarterbacks getting that much time. Not to say that they're getting cut off too early, or not to say that they really have these plans for Rudolph. It's just that the Steelers' backup quarterbacks have been just that. They've been backups. It's never been a question of this guy is going to start eventually. You know, they've never groomed anybody for this. You know, Ben sat on the bench for, what, 7 quarters or something like that before he got in action. Anybody else was, you know, really just not a legitimate NFL starter anymore. Usually it was a previous starter that's now a backup, or it was a guy that was drafted to be a backup. Rudolph was kind of the middle ground of that, and you weren't really sure. And clearly the team is giving him some reason to think that there is still a chance. I don't want to say that where we sit right now that he will or he won't. I will say, for where we are on June 8th, 2021, something obvious and noticeable will have happened if 365 days from now we are talking about Mason Rudolph, the starting quarterback. We would have had to have seen something. If they have discarded any and all other options and just kind of defaulted it to Rudolph without anything that we can see, that doesn't seem like a good thing to me. I think if something were to happen to Roethlisberger, Rudolph was to go in and do a lot of really great things, you have your starter, and you know that. I think if on an even plane, this time next year, if nothing else happened, there is no way that they have not probably kept Dwayne Haskins and probably drafted somebody. So there very well could be something of a 2.5 to 3 quarterback race for the starting quarterback job, which I think is probably a bad situation for the Steelers. As Bill Parcells famously said, when you have 2 quarterbacks, you have 1.
Right.
I said that backwards. When you have 1 quarterback.
Yeah, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
None. Thank you. Yes. That's the word I was looking for. But if you are in a situation where you know ahead of time this is your guy, I think it's good. I think something probably bad would have happened to the Steelers this season. But if they are able to make other moves to really kind of make Rudolph probably one of the higher paid backup quarterbacks in the league next year, that's really where they want to be. And we'll see if that's the way it turns out. But either way, you know, Rudolph is still going to be auditioning for other jobs pretty much with every snap he takes. He doesn't have any long-term security. It's not a position that really has a middle ground to that. You're either on a rookie quarterback contract, you're on a veteran contract, or you're Ryan Fitzpatrick jumping from team to team to team every year for a century. You know, you need to be able to find some kind of foothold in something. And Rudolph just might be on that, you know, fairly lucrative backup quarterback circuit. That very well could happen. I'm not sure if he has a good pathway to be a starting quarterback without showing perhaps more than he has at this point. If he does get the job and all things were equal the whole time, I don't think that's the situation the Steelers want.
Is this also in part a line in the sand moment for Mason Rudolph in regards not to Ben Roethlisberger, but to the presence of Dwayne Haskins on the roster?
I think with Haskins, and I'll throw this in as well, because you can, everything you just said, you can say the same thing about Josh Dobbs.
Mm-hmm.
So the Steelers signed Dobbs, a veteran who's been around. Mm-hmm. He's above the first tier of salary nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
You're bringing him in to compete in camp. And to me, what that really says is we're not going to let the guy we picked up after he got cut from his rookie deal, because really he didn't put the work in that he needed to, and a highly reputable, highly esteemed coach in the league is the one who's saying that publicly. You know, Ron Rivera didn't mince words about what Dwayne Haskins did in his time in Washington.
Right.
He didn't you know, try to cover it up at all. He didn't study hard. He didn't put the work in that he needed to.
Mm-hmm.
He should be a lot better than he is.
Yeah.
They're not going to let Dwayne Haskins walk into this season thinking that all he needs to do is just kind of coast and then compete against Mason Rudolph for a starting job next year.
Right.
They brought in Dobbs, in my opinion, to send a message to Haskins and perhaps Rudolph as well,
okay,
that this is less open than you think it is. One of you guys are getting cut.
Yeah.
So we need to think about how it is we're going to structure this. You're going to be asked to go in here and compete. And on top of that, I really don't think Ben Roethlisberger is going to take a ton of snaps in the preseason. So you guys are going to play quite a bit. and you need to make the most of it if you want to make this team. So as far as Rudolph versus Haskins goes, I think the acquisition of Dobbs says the same thing. Haskins is not just going to walk into the third string quarterback job here. On top of that, you know, we don't have to dress a third quarterback. So practice squad is an option here. You know, they just announced, I think this week, wasn't it? They're going to keep the same practice squad rules that they had last year.
Yeah, it sounds like
Haskins is eligible for that. So if he wants to get paid a you know, even the veteran minimum for his level this season, he's going to have to earn it. And I think that's the right message to send. The reason he's in Pittsburgh is because he didn't cut it in Washington. I mean, really, you look at Washington over the last several years, it's pretty hard to not lock down a starting quarterback job there. You know, Washington was basically begging Kirk Cousins to take a contract if he wasn't going to do it. So they've had a tough time filling that spot. They drafted Haskins to not have to worry about that anymore, and that didn't work out. So if you can't cut it there, if you don't get the job done there, they're really, really anxious to get a quarterback in there playing. Haskins should have clued into the fact that his star is no longer on the rise. He is the lowest of the low, and he's going to have to earn whatever he gets from now on. There's absolutely no doubt where they sit today. Rudolph has a substantial advantage. Rudolph has done what the team has asked him to do. Mm-hmm. They drafted him. He's been there. He's been a teammate. He's had to be a spot starter. He's taken the abuse from the media. He's battle tested in Pittsburgh. Haskins is nothing. So, he's at the bottom, and to make matters worse for him, to circle it all back to the beginning, they brought in the guy that they thought a lot of to take in the fourth round. The only reason they got rid of Josh Dobbs is because they got a fifth round pick from Jacksonville.
That's
to do
right.
It. Yeah. Otherwise, imagine this. You and I have talked about this a bunch. The story of Duck Hodges never would have been if the Jaguars didn't offer a fifth round pick randomly for Josh Dobbs. So Steelers obviously have a good amount of respect for him.
Yeah.
Haskins isn't just going to walk in and take anybody's job.
Right. With that in mind, I know it's snippets, but does that put a little more in the preseason for Rudolph and these guys just to cement and say, hey, look, you know, I'm getting better. You can see it. Would that help him along the way?
I definitely think it would. I mean, he's going to have to show you know, here's the thing. I think it was Ben that said it, and I think a lot of this is kind of Ben hyperbole. he can throw a ball through a car wash and have it not get wet. I mean, that's obviously extreme.
Sure.
He's got a good arm. He has an NFL arm for sure. He doesn't look like it. He really doesn't. He doesn't have the size. He doesn't really move in the way that you think a strong arm quarterback does. But he's got it. He can make the throws. He's mobile enough. You know, he can set his feet and deliver the ball when he needs to. But there are so many mental lapses. There are so many little things that he doesn't do. It's frustrating to think of what he could be. And I'm not saying that he's gifted with, you know, an all-pro everything except for the stuff that he's not doing. But he's got talent. I didn't think he was probably a mid first round guy either. I think he was probably more of a later round one type of prospect, but there's a lot to work with there. You have to like what you have in him. I think he can come in and show that he has the physical ability because he absolutely does. And perhaps he looks better doing it. Perhaps he's taking well to whatever coaching that he's been getting. He can go out there and show that he not only belongs on the field, but he can run the scout team and he's going to do well doing it. From there, if he's putting in the work, he's going to have to be the first one in, last one out, if he wants to be seriously considered as a candidate to take over next season. He's going to have to outwork everybody, and he's starting from behind the eight ball. It's a tough spot to be in, but at the same time, it's like it's a pretty clear path of what you need to do if you're Dwayne Haskins. And for me, ability-wise, if he can come together, he can grow up a little bit and put the work in, I don't see any reason why he can't be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I don't think he's Patrick Mahomes, but I think he can be a reasonable player. I definitely think he's got more talent than Rudolph does.
Yeah.
Probably the same level of athleticism, unfortunately, but that's something they can work around. He can throw the ball. I mean, that's sort of the primary function of a quarterback now. You have to be able to deliver the ball. So with that, I think he is going to earn everything that he gets in Pittsburgh, up to and including a release after training camp ends.
Gotcha. How do you view the safety depth and the options there?
They've got plenty of it, that's for sure. I mean, the options are there. Outside of Mason Rudolph speaking to the media, the one thing we do know is Malik Hooker does not have a job, and he's from Pittsburgh. That has been the primary conversation.
And a player in college I liked.
Yeah, I thought he'd be a little bit better. I think, and I'm choosing my words carefully here, I think there are some interesting decisions that happen in Indianapolis. I think defensively they've been really kind of a hot and cold team. They've been trying to change that quite a bit, and they're getting better and better. Indianapolis is a good football team. I don't think they should have ended up where they did last year in a lot of ways. I think their defense really kind of led them to that. But the safety position has such a strange market nowadays. You can understand for the same reasons that the Steelers are not picking up Terrell Edmonds' option. He's a good player. There's no doubt he's a good player. But even at what's his option number? $6.5 million, something like that?
Yeah, it's $6.5 million.
That's really, really high for a player who's not making plays left and right the way that you hope somebody as athletic as Terrell Edmonds would. If you were to bring in Malik Hooker, where the Steelers are situated today, it would seem to me the depth role that he plays would fit very much in line with what's typical for a Steelers third, fourth, even fifth safety. He's going to have to come in and play special teams. Does Malik Hooker want to play special teams? Do the Steelers want to sign a player coming off what's usually known as a pretty severe injury on what's probably a one-year contract, because he's going to have to play through and show that he can still play in a place that he's not going to get on the field as a safety? He's just going to be chasing kicks. Barring injury to Minkah Fitzpatrick or Terrell Edmonds, you know, a safety in Pittsburgh isn't going to play. So I don't know if there's a great fit there. I do think, though, especially with local guys who happen to be coming in the area, like Hooker seemed to be doing, they might, you know, give him a cup of coffee and ask him how his leg's doing, you know, find out how healthy he is. I don't know to the degree that they can test him or anything like that, but keeping notes, because you never know what might happen in camp. They might need a safety to come in and play right away. Maybe Hooker's a better option than Arthur Mollett, who they just signed away from the Jets, who played safety and cornerback. Doing due diligence is common across the league, and it happens a lot more often than people think. It's just when the guy who's coming into town happens to be from Pittsburgh, it happens in that stretch of time around Memorial Day when there's not really anything else to talk about. People are going to make it in a far bigger deal than it really is. So on top of that, you've got the financial issue as well. Would Pittsburgh even be able to afford him? If they're bringing in Hooker with the plans of trading Terrell Edmonds, then maybe, but I don't think there's a fit there right now. I think by and large, he probably would price himself out of what the Steelers would want out of the role that they need a safety to play. So to me, though, it does suggest they're shopping for a bargain, and maybe there's another one out there that isn't a Hooker, and they just want to keep tabs on him, because odds are excellent he's going to be a free agent next season, and maybe next season's a better fit for him. Smart teams do that. You're going to find out who's out there, who's available. They have relationships with everybody. So I don't think it's too big of a deal right now, and maybe if Hooker doesn't have any other options and he wants to play for $1 million a year, which I really don't think that he will, he could be available for him. But I don't think he's the one to look at. I think there are others out there that you're going to see released for one reason or another that the Steelers might try to pick up during, maybe even after training camp.
Well, we feel like a smarter show when you're on. So, sir, thank you so much.
That is an excellent compliment. Thank you. Thanks for having me. You guys have a good day.
The outstanding Neil Coulon, who earns the compliment. We always thank him every week for joining us. All right, coming over the next hour, Tim Brando, Fox Sports, will be joining us. We'll talk about Coach K. And then the final half hour, Tony Knopp, Suit joins us tomorrow. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on this Thursday as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.